But very thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful for the Lord blessing our dear brother to preach the joyful sound that is resonating in our hearts. I appreciate your pastor so much. We've loved him for many years, and so thankful for the ministering servants that are here. And it's always been a blessing to be here at Macedonia Church. And, it's a blessing to me to see the old and young singing together, worshiping together, from their heart to the Lord.
Right.
Seeing them work together. Seeing little ones sweeping the porch as you drive up to the meeting house, seeing them wipe off the tables. So thankful for the godly example that has been set here.
Yeah.
Elder Adam Green recently preached on to despise not the day of small things. Somebody may say wiping off a table is just a small thing. Sweeping a porch is just a small thing. But I'll tell you, in service unto God, God values the small things that we're able to do in His service, in His kingdom. Appreciate y'all's hospitality so much, and hospitality of Brother Brant and Sister Rose and their precious family. And for the love that I feel in the house of God and in the houses of the Lord's people as I'm blessed to travel around. It's a love that I know I'm unworthy of, but what a blessing to feel the love, and it's a love that comes from the Lord. As Brother Ricky was closing out that wonderful message that the Lord so ably blessed him to preach, and he was talking about the importance of the soundness of the faith and of the foundational teachings that we believe, I couldn't help but think of something that happened to us several years ago in the probation office. I was a firearms instructor for years, and we had a lead firearms instructor at one point that said, you know, everybody knows the fundamentals of marksmanship, the stance, the grip, the sight alignment, the sight picture, and the trigger control, and everybody knows that. There's no need to reemphasize that every time we have training. Seemed to make sense from a carnal perspective. But you know what happened to our shooting that had been here? It began to do this. Woo! The fundamentals matter.
Yes, they do.
The basics matter. And I hope we never get tired of hearing the sweetness of the doctrines of grace.
Amen.
For we need to hear those things. Please pray for me. When somebody's been blessed, so ably preached, you're encouraged. And in one sense, you're ready to try to preach. In the other sense, you're scared to try to preach. So please... please pray that the Lord will be with us. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Psalm chapter 139. Brother Ricky was in a couple of verses there briefly last night. And I want to begin at the beginning, the Lord being our helper. Psalms chapter 139. It's a psalm of David that says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know, for us to want to search something out, we got to want to know more about what we're trying to search out.
Yeah.
When I interviewed as a U.S. probation officer back in 1993, me and a lady that they were thinking about hiring were interviewing the same day. That lady drove into Jackson, Mississippi on the west side of town. That's the rough side of town. It's very high crime area. And she later told me, she said, when I was driving to the interview and I saw all that I saw, I didn't want to know nothing else about Jackson, Mississippi. And she said, I almost didn't even show up to the interview. Later, she realized that there was a lot more to the Jackson metropolitan area than what she saw. But what she saw was bad enough, she didn't have any desire to search it out. You know, when we want to search something out, it's because we've seen something that's beautiful. Something that causes us to want to know more. There's some pretty country around here, and you kind of get up into this part of Georgia, and you're getting up into a little more of the rolling hills that gravitate into the mountains, and I love the beauty of the mountains.
Yes, sir.
And when I'm in the mountains, I just want to search out more and more because it's so beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And you see the majesty of the Lord's creation, and you just want to search it out.
Yeah.
And see more and learn more. This isn't talking about searching out land. It's talking about searching out a person.
Right.
Oh Lord, thou has searched me and known me. Why would the Lord want to search me and know me? You know, I trust the Lord's put in all of our hearts a deep love when He born us again by His Holy Spirit. A deep love for the Lord and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we all have a desire in us, and it's evidence of us being here today to learn more about the Lord, to see more of His beauty, to see more of His grace, to see more of His mercy, to see more of His love. And we want to know more and more and more about Him. We want to search Him out.
Yeah.
Brother Ricky preached us how deep He is. For in the Lord Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
It later says in that chapter, in Him dwelleth all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. And I want to spend the rest of my days searching Him out.
Yeah.
Knowing more about Him. The Song of Solomon, it would say of our Lord Jesus, our husband, He is altogether lovely.
Yeah.
There's no spot, no blemish, no sin in Him whatsoever. But God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And as we search Him out, we'll not find one stain, not one spot, not one blemish.
Yes.
But as we search Him out, everything's beautiful.
Yes.
And everything's lovely. And everything's glorious. You know, the advent of clearer looking televisions, Hollywood and even newscasters have had to up the game on their makeup. Because I don't care how beautiful these folks on TV think they are, they got blemishes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the clearer the TV's gotten, the more the blemishes show up. And they've had to get a little more clever in makeup to hide the blemishes. Where are we by nature? What do we look like by nature? We look in Ezekiel chapter 16. We get a little bit of a picture. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Jerusalem here is a picture of us. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, and thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite, and as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. Nobody wanted to know any more about this child. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. But there came a day when the Lord passed by. And I'm going to tell you, whenever you see the Lord passing by, as in the scriptures, glorious, wonderful things happen when the Lord passes by. He said, when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yeah. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. He gave us life. None eyed pitied us. We were polluted in our own blood, guilty, bankrupt, putrid, darkened, stenchful, sinners.
Amen.
But his eye did pity us. When he passed by, he said, live. And he gave us life.
God.
And he said, I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Here's emblems, here's pictures of the Lord married us. He is our husband, and we became his bride. He said, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk, and I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. Look where we were, and by his grace, look where we are. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. He said, I gave thee my comeliness. I gave thee my beauty. I gave thee my righteousness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So we see, as David said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. We see a picture of all the beautiful things the Lord has done for us. And we see the putrid, ugly, powerful, stingful state we were in. But he's made us beautiful. He's made us lovely. He's washed away our sins in his own precious blood. And he made us his bride. And we prospered into a kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, there was a young lady about 1994 that I crossed paths with. That later became my wife. That I wanted to search out. I knew pretty quickly she was the woman that I wanted to marry, and I wanted to know more and more and more about her. I wanted to know what she liked. I wanted to know what she didn't like. I wanted to know what she valued and what she didn't value, because I loved her. Why would the Lord such a horrible condition we've seen described? Where nobody else, not even one eye, pitied us. Why would he want to search us out? Because he loved us. He's done all these glorious things. I see why we would want to search him out. But isn't a blessed thing, little child of God, that the Lord would want to search us out? He said, "Oh Lord, thou hast searched me." That word search means to examine, to search out, to investigate. And known me. Probably nobody knows us better this side of heaven than if we're blessed to be involved with a wife or a husband. But you know, the knowledge and the searching out of the Lord of me, and the searching out, his searching out of you, goes far beyond what your husband or wife can know. Since I left Sister Emily Friday morning, there's things I've done that she won't know that I've done. Goes on to say, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine up rising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Did Sister Emily know every time I sat down in this meeting house and every time I got up? Did she know when I laid down exactly the time when I was at Brother Brant and Sister Rose's home and Brother Ben's comfortable bed? Thank you, Brother Ben, for let me sleep in your bed. It's very comfortable. She didn't know. But the Lord knows.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes husbands and wives can get so close that sometimes you know what each other's thinking. But you don't know all the time. But the Lord does.
Yeah.
The Lord's interested in every detail and aspect of our life. Sister Emily doesn't know how many hairs are on my head. Neither do I. But the Lord does.
Yeah.
He is intricately interested in every detail of our life because he loves us that much. See, the Lord's just not interested in the big things of our life. He's interested in the little things of your life. He said, "Thou compassest my path." Means you surround my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Lord, you're always with me. Lord, thy presence surrounds me. What a blessing. He goes on to say, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Do we know everything we're going to say today? No, we don't. Does the Lord know?
Yes, he does. Does he know something that we're just thinking and don't say? Yes, he does. You remember in Luke 7, Simon was thinking badly of the Lord and of that woman who had was so repentant of her sins. They're washing the Lord's feet with their tears, and the Lord begins to rebuke Simon for stuff he just thought. He didn't say it out loud. Mark Quarles has said a whole lot of things I ought not have said in my life. But I've said way less bad things than the bad things I thought. What about you? He said, thou hast beset. The word beset means to surround. It means to enclose. It means to fortify. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and lay thine hand upon me. Said, Lord, you go before. There was a time I was supervising a drug dealer. I was the drug dealer's probation officer. One time I explained this story and said I was supervising one of my drug dealers. I'm like, I better kind of phrase that a little bit better. Me as a probation officer was supervising a guy that was a drug dealer. This drug dealer decided he wasn't going to support all of his children. And so one of the ladies in his life, or women in his life, began to call me and give me a lot of information. He had a huge house out in the country that he tried to hide from my knowledge. He had all kind of assets he was hiding from my knowledge. He was moving very large quantities of cocaine, and she was giving me all this information. And so me and an officer that's about 6'6", old country boy from Iowa, we go out there to do some surveillance in this place in the country that he doesn't know we know exists. Well, he liked to fight dogs, so there's a bunch of fighting pit bulls out there. And as we went down this path, there were like big 50-gallon drums on each side of the path with these huge pit bulls. Some of them at least were chained, but I didn't know if all of them were chained. And so as we walked down this path, it was my case, so I was the lead officer. But the guy I'm with, he's a lot bigger than me. And he was stronger than me. So as we walk down the path, I'm kind of hesitant. I'm going a little bit slower and slower, and he just keeps to walk at the same pace. Well, before we got super close to the pit bulldogs, he winds up in front of me. And neither one of us knew exactly how it happened. But he looked back and said, hey, how'd I get in the front? I said, I don't know, but you're good right where you are. You just stay up front. And thankfully, those dogs were all chained. I didn't know, but I wanted somebody bigger than me and stronger than me in front of me. The Lord always goes before. No matter what we face in our life, no matter as we, the Lord's little sheep, no matter what lion or what bear we may come across, we have one that besets us round. We have a Lord that's far stronger than us and mightier than us and greater than us, and that loves us, who goes before. But he also goes behind. He's got our back covered. When I first started as a U.S. probation officer, we would go out on the firing range and we would boom, 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 shoot the targets, then go back to the holster. Boom, boom, shoot the targets, go back to the holster. That's not a good way to train, and we since learned that. We never train that way now. Now we boom, boom, then we cover the target to the right, then we cover the target to the left, and that's where our training was at one point. Then we go to the holster. But there was a problem because we had some officers that were in an apartment complex and began to take some gunfire from the front, but they also were taking it from the rear in some second story apartments behind them. So then our training changed to shoot the targets, cover right, cover left. Then before you go to the holster, we call it checking your six, which is like 6 o'clock on a clock. It's the position right behind you before you go to the holster. Because a lot of times, people that may want to hurt you will sneak up behind you. And the devil likes to come in from behind. We have a Lord that's so great and that loves us so much that he besets us before and behind. And he loves us so much that he is intricately interested in our safety and in our security. He has beset me, David says, behind and before. And he's laid his hand upon me. Sometimes when you're afraid, we need to feel the touch of his gentle hand. I love that place in Revelation where the glorified Lord Jesus Christ has appeared unto John there on that island of Patmos. You know, John then's an old man. And I can't help, talking about the devil sneaking up behind you, I can only imagine what the devil may have been telling John, this old man John, on the island of Patmos. Can you imagine what the devil may have been telling him? Oh, John, you were a big apostle at one time. Oh, you were a big preacher at one time, John. Yeah, there was a time, John, when the Lord, you were blessed to lean on the Lord's breast at supper. But that's been a long time ago now, John. And now you're an old man, and you're washed up, and you're out on this rocky Isle of Patmos, and the Lord doesn't care about you anymore, John. Can you imagine what the devil may have been whispering in his ear? Do you know the Bible tells us that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day? You know how easy it'd be to be on a rocky island and lose track of what day it is? John knew when it was the Lord's day. You know what? We need to know when it's the Lord's day. And we should be praying, Lord, bless me to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This man who I'm sure Satan was telling him all kind of lies. The very thing that John needed was to see the glorified Lord Jesus Christ that continued to love him and would never quit loving him. But John probably needed to be reminded of it. Do we ever need to be reminded of it? Do we ever find ourselves in life on the rocky island of Patmos and need to be reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Shepherd and our Friend, that he still loves me, that he still cares for me, and he still besets me before, and he still besets me behind. As the Lord appeared unto him, John was so enraptured with the glory of the Lord that he falls down. And the Lord says, fear not. And the Lord puts his hand on John. And he lifts him up. We see this sweet picture of the Lord laying his hand upon David. I was worshiping at a church several years ago, and at the end of the service there was a precious sister that had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and the whole church began to pray for her. She was sitting up on the front pew, And nobody was physically right next to her. And as the church began to pray, at one point she looked directly behind her up this way. And nobody knew exactly why she did that. But she would later say, as the church was praying for me, I felt the touch of a hand on my shoulder. And I thought maybe it was one of the deacons. I thought maybe somebody had come up and had lovingly placed their hand on my shoulder. But she said, but I later realized that it was the Lord Himself. That I felt the touch of His gentle hand when I needed it most. Sometimes when we're afraid and we feel like we got enemies in front of us, we feel like we got enemies behind. And the Lord besets us around with His presence in front of us and behind us. He does even more than that. He gets even closer. And we're blessed to feel the touch of His gentle hand when we need it the most. You know, I'm told that the shepherd, as he leads his sheep through the valley, you know, it's in the valley that the sheep could hear the sound of the wolf and the sound of the lion closer. The enemies of the sheep were usually in the valleys. But I'm told that's when the shepherd is taking his sheep through the valleys. And of course, he's always taking them there to bring them later to the tabletop mountains where there's the greenest pastures ever. But I'm told that when they're in the valley, when he knows the sheep are afraid, that it's in the valley that they'll hear the sound of his voice way more frequently. And just the sound of the voice of the shepherd can still the fears of the sheep. But he even goes one step further, especially in the valleys, where the sheep feel the touch of his gentle hand so many more times. And the sheep is made to feel safe and secure in the love of their shepherd. He laid his hand upon me. David would say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That word wonderful means incomprehensible. It means extraordinary. It's so great. It's so wonderful. My eyes just can't, and my mind can't wrap around it. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. Hebrews chapter 13, he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He loved us before time ever began, before he said, let there be light. He loved us, and he'll never, ever, ever quit loving. The concept of love we have in the world, the twisted concept, is a love that's here today and gone tomorrow. But the love of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, it's an everlasting love. It's an eternal love. And it'll never, ever end. And nothing can separate us from that love. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Can you think of a description of a more lonely place? We've all seen these shows of somebody trapped at sea, And you look for miles and miles and miles and you see nobody. You can't talk to anybody. You're in the middle of nowhere. It's a lonely place. Do we ever find ourselves in the lonely places of this life? He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the thing that seems away from everybody, and I'm alone and afraid. David reminds that even there, even there, no man knows where you are. If they knew where you are, they probably couldn't find you. But even there, in this most lonely of places, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Have we ever needed to feel the embraces of our Lord, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Husband? I love that. Those verses in Song of Solomon where it says he would put his right hand under me to embrace me. You know, sometimes I look on some of the experiences of the disciples. I love what John says when he begins 1 John 1 and he said, our hands have handled the word of life.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that the Lord blesses us to see him through an eye of faith and bless us to hear him with spiritual ears that he's given us. And I'm thankful that we're blessed through faith to feel the touch of his gentle hand even here and now. But I'll tell you, I look forward to that day when these hands can embrace him.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that day when I can, in every sense of the word, feel his hands wrapped around me. And I know I'm safe and secure forever, evermore. But I'm thankful that even now in this time, that in the most loneliest times of our life, that even there, in those remotest times, in those loneliest of places, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. He's able to lift us up when the things of the world and the trials and the tribulations of life and the storms of life would beset us round and would seek to pummel us down to our knees. The Lord's ready to lift us up and to carry us in his arms. I love the place where we see the scene of the shepherd who has 100 sheep, 99 are safely in the fold, but there's one that's lost.
Yeah.
And the Lord will go after the one sheep that's lost. And the Bible says, until he finds it. Sometimes I look for something I've lost and I never find it. But the Lord finds whatever he seeks to find. And he goes and he gets that little lamb that has no more strength, that's totally unable to approach unto the shepherd and to come back to the fold. But it's okay, because that little sheep doesn't need any strength of its own. But it's blessed to have the strength of the shepherd. And the shepherd lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. I found my sheep that was lost. We were blessed to hear a wonderful message about the people that know the joyful sound. And part of the joyful sound is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. As we rejoice in him, he rejoices in us. And he searched us. And he's interested in everything about us because he loves us that much. And he's made us beautiful. And he's made us glorious. He goes on, and we'll bring our remarks to a close. He said, yea, If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You remember the time after the Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, that he told his disciples to go to the other side. And the Lord's up on the mountain praying to God. And the disciples are down there having trouble. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and a storm's come up. And it's in the darkness of the night. The disciples were together, but I still think they probably felt pretty lonely out there. I get pretty scared being in a storm on land. I don't want to be in a storm in the water. But they're on a storm in the water, and they're afraid. These are mighty sailors that were used to the elements of the Sea of Galilee, but they're afraid. And they're doing everything they can do. They're toiling in rowing. But the storm's stronger than they are. We have been a storm that's stronger than we are. Oh, and we're toiling and rowing, but we just don't have what it takes. It's the darkness of the night. It's the darkest part of the night. But that's no problem with the Lord. Because he looks down from that mountain and he sees them toiling and rowing. But he doesn't just see them. He doesn't just see them and say, sorry guys, I hate you going through that. But he comes down from that mountain. And he works a miracle to walk on the water to be with them in the midst of the storm. And not just to be with them, to say, peace, be still. And the storm comes to an end. The same love that the Lord Jesus had for Peter and James and John and those disciples in that boat is the same love that he has for you and me. The same blood that he shed for them on Calvary's tree is the same blood he shed for you and me. The same love he had for them before the foundation of the world is the same love he has for you and me. And I'll tell you, little child of God, no matter what storm we may be in, no matter how black the darkness of the night, that same Lord who walked on the water to come to them in the midst of that storm and be with them and get in the boat with them and to still the storm is the same Jesus that'll come to you in the storms of your life, that he'll see every detail of what's going on in your life. He'll know every detail of the storm even more than you do. And he'll walk on the water because he loves you, and he'll get in the boat with you, and you'll feel his presence, and he'll still the storm. The same Lord that loves you in eternity is the same Lord that loves you today. It's that love that drives him towards you when you need him the most. What a wondrous Lord we serve. What a joyful sound. And all the Lord's done for us. God bless you, is my prayer.